On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Well, it's a...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I don't know why I'm laughing. What a lovely, lovely day. Isn't it beautiful outside, no matter where you may be living? I don't know. What a wonderful day it is. Blue skies, I mean it's raining, I mean it's snowing, I mean it's sleeting, I don't know what it is. When you're doing a national broadcast, you can't go, oh, isn't it a beautiful day outside, and somebody's trailer park just got blown away. You know, you can't do that. Stop. Gotta speak in generalities, like how's everybody doing as opposed to how are you feeling, fat people. You can't do that. It's not even proper. I'm fat, you're fat, we're all fat. Even supermodels think they're fat. They eat a carrot and they go, oh my God, look at the bulge. You know, that's everybody's got the same problems. Everybody's got problems. Do you ever go to somebody's house, you know, and you walk in, oh, what a beautiful home. They thank you. What a beautiful home you have. And then, oh, here's my lovely wife. Oh, hi, dear. And they hug each other, and she's beautiful, and he's beautiful, and everything's perfect. And then you go and you leave, and you feel terrible about yourself. You go, oh, my God, look how happy this couple is. They're the perfect couple, just like you see in the Perfect Couple magazines. And here I am with nobody, and I'm lazy, and my balls are hanging down, and I'm just awful, and I got cramps, and well, I feel horrible. But what you don't know is that when you leave the house, that wonderful couple turns to each other and says, you just shut up. How dare you call me in the living room? Quiet. Get that pimple off your ass. We've been talking about that for a long time. What's wrong with you? Your sister's a ridiculous tramp. She shouldn't even be alive. That's what happens when you leave. People don't expose their darkest, deepest, ugly, horrible secrets to you in general. They don't do it. How are you, Ron? My name is Bob. I got to tell you something. I'm a psychopath, and I got a gigantic mole on my behind, which I cannot get rid of. You have no idea how much cholesterol I'm sporting right now in my arteries. It's unbelievable. And even though I may seem attractive to you, when I was a child, someone gouged out my kidneys just to get back at me for being so smart in second grade. Oh, I didn't know that, Bob. Yes, that's my baggage. That's just some of my baggage. I also like to shave my armpits and save it in a jar and then drink it with soup. Oh, my God, Bob, I didn't know. Yes, well, you're meeting me for the first time. You didn't know that. You don't know. You don't know what people are like. You don't know what problems they have. You know who the happiest people are sometimes? The fat and jolly ones. The fat and jolly ones. Yeah, they do. They are. You know, you're going, oh, what a horrible life. You can probably, how do you have sex? You can't even find your penis. You know, you probably say that to the fat guys are so happy. They're so happy to walk around going, oh, oh, oh. They're always laughing at everything. How are you today, Joe? I went to the store. You went to the store? Oh, 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 oh. I went to the store too. Oh, 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 oh.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too, but sometimes he says bad words.
Not a lot. Very infrequently. Very infrequently. Not a lot. Not a lot at all. Seriously, come on, cut it out. Give me a bad rap here. Not a lot. That's it. Give me a bad rap. It's like going into a sandwich store and getting one of those wraps, you know. And what do you want on your wrap? A little turkey, bacon, and lettuce. And what kind of wrap do you want? Give me the spinach wrap. And then they give you the thing, and you take a bite, and you ugh. You're just giving me a bad rap. You're giving me a bad rap. Oh, Ron, you are so funny. How did you get your own radio show? I seriously, I'm as much in the dark about this as you are. Seriously, I don't remember how it happened. I'm trying to remember my first day in radio. I think it was back in 1990. I know it was back in 1990. I was laying in the gutter. No, I wasn't laying in a gutter anywhere. I was sitting up. I wouldn't lie in a gutter, my God. I had been doing television in the Boston area for quite a long time, about a decade at that point. And someone said, you know, here's the radio. You should go on the radio. And I said, well, first of all, your voice is odd. All right, what are you talking about? You should try the radio. And I tried it, and it was fun because I didn't have to care about what I looked like. I didn't have to worry about the scenery behind me or what's going to appear on the camera. They're getting a, you know, and then you come on. In radio, you can move your hands and direct people, and you can do things, and it's so easy. It's so easy. It's like baking a pie in your underpants. I mean, that's not where the oven is. I mean, while you're wearing your underpants, not baking your pie in your underpants, because that would be disgusting and not all that tasty.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today?
Today's a conundrum. I'm doing this this internet radio podcast thing out of the Boston area. The Boston area. And it's just screwed up. Yesterday, Boston had a celebration. They broke another record, and it's kind of stupid. They had the most snow in Boston ever since they started keeping records of weather. And I think even Jesus jotted down the weather back then. I don't know how far back weather goes as far as recording it is concerned. I really don't know. I don't know if they did in the Middle Ages. Sire, it looks like rain today, and I believe we're going to get 3 inches of frogs today, raining frogs. And it's right. How's your gout today?
It's
the way people talk in England, by the way. They talk like they're trying to strain out a large turd, don't they? So, like, how are you today?
How are you?
Hey, God. I don't know why you listen to this either. So I'm watching television yesterday, as I tend to do every day. And they have, this is so, I laugh at things because they are so bizarre and so stupid. And usually you just like gloss over it. It's my job to point out how stupid this is. That's what I do. That's what I do for a living. I go, wait a minute, look at that again. And you go, oh my God, Ron, you're right. That's so stupid and bizarre. I just glossed right over it. I said, that's why I'm here. Now you know why I'm here. So I'm watching a television commercial for dishwasher stuff. Do you remember dishwasher detergent used to be a powder? It used to be a powder that you would put in your, before you even had a dishwasher probably. You put this powder in the dishwasher little receptacle, and it was powdery, and it would stick to the walls of your glasses and stuff, and it wasn't very good. It wasn't very good. Then they came out with dishwasher detergent. I'm not talking about what you do in the sink. I'm talking about the dishwasher machine. Then they came out with this, the liquid dishwasher detergent, where it would be in a squirt bottle, and when it got toward the end of the bottle, it would go, it'll make squirty sounds, you know, and it reminded you of things that you didn't want to be reminded about. And it got very gel, and then it was a gel, and it was like a liquid gel kind of thing that oozed out like soft soap, you know, and it, that started making those kinds of noises. I just got all over my microphone. And then they came out with the newest incantation, which is an incantation. They came out with the newest one, which is, it's in a little plastic baggie or something. I don't know what the hell that thing is. It's like a pellet. It's a pellet. And it's in a little plastic pellet thing. And it's got funky, like, liquid lava designs. You know, like lava lamps? It's like that. Those funky little strange designs in it. And the more colors in it, they lead you to believe the better dishwasher detergent is in there. Because colored dishwasher detergent is, of course, means more powerful. We all know that. So I'm watching, and the Finnish people, the name of the company is Finnish. I think it's Finish, which is Finnish, or it could be two N's. I really don't care, and I don't know what it is, and I don't care, but that's the brand. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to outpower each other by making the description of their product to be more powerful than like one of these pellets, and you could blow up an entire country. But it's dishwasher detergent thing in a little bag is all it is. So Finish, this is what they call their latest development of dishwasher detergent, ladies and gentlemen. They call it Quantum Max dishwasher detergent. Quantum Max. What? What are we doing? Are we taking spray paint off the side of a barn? Or are we just cleaning dishes? These gentle little dishes and glasses all of a sudden need Quantum Max power. You know, hitting an anvil. What is that about? What are we doing? What are we doing? It's freaking dishwasher detergent. Quantum Max. It will blow the dirt off of anybody's pants immediately in a dishwasher. I'm thinking about putting my laundry in the dishwasher if it's going to be that strong. And a few days I told you about, I believe it was Crest. See if I can find that thing. Yes, Crest. Crest, they have a toothpaste called Crest HD. High definition toothpaste. And I don't get it. How does that relate to, how does high definition quality on a television set relate to, well, I've got high definition in my toothpaste. What are you talking about? Now you're just totally nuts is what you're doing. So it's high definition. When you brush your teeth with Crest HD, it gives your teeth high definition. High definition, man. It's only what it is. Here's my teeth. In high definition? No, they're my teeth. I mean, there's no high definition. I'm not showing them on a TV screen. These are my freaking teeth. If they're not high definition, get some glasses and get your prescription fixed. I mean, high definition teeth? Yes, it matches my high definition nose. Yesterday, I had some high definition popcorn every kernel came in nice and clear and was wonderful. It was high-definition popcorn.
What? Stop it. You know what? Stop it. Just stop it.
I admit on this show, we have a lot of doctors on this show. And I'm not even a Dr. Oz program, oddly enough. I would never be. If I ever turn into Dr. Oz, please tell me. Please take my nipples and twist them into all kinds of balloon animals because I don't ever want to be that. I don't want to be that. Dr. Oz is taking the doctor health profession and done balloon animals with it. I mean, he is such a whore. W-H, man. What a whore. I'm sorry, you are a whore, doctor. And he keeps saying, they don't pay me to promote these products on television when on my show. They don't, no. When I mention that you should have a handful of nuts every day and the nut industry makes $2 billion the next day, no, I make nothing off of that.
Yeah, you make nothing off of that, right? Yeah, uh-huh.
Dr. Oz, who's behind the curtain in your strange land with your yellow brick road, Dr. Whore? I mean, Dr. I say Dr. Whore by mistake again.
I guess you could call me kind of whorish. Here's the deal, man. But I really want you to know about medical breakthroughs and stuff like that and things that you can do to stay healthy.
But if there's a product mentioned, I back off and I say, look, you know, that's not why I did this. I don't want you to buy this stuff. I don't want you to buy the stuff. I just want you to be aware that there's stuff that you can buy for this kind of thing, not particularly that brand. And I say that on the air. And the doctors continue to come on the show for some reason. Here's what I find odd. When I'm watching television, television used to be so much fun. It used to be an escape. I'd sit on the couch, and when I was watching a sitcom or a show or some kind of drama, it takes you out of your own life. It's like watching a movie, you know, just kind of. But now, man, with the commercials, television is so depressing. I won't even watch the news anymore, you know. And now it's time for the news. 2 billion people dead in China because of a train wreck. And oh my, and some of these people were beheaded Tuesday, and these people had it on Wednesday, and there was an explosion, and it killed 50 people, and the mother of a young child is dangling by her knuckles. And I said, well, this is horrible stuff. And there was murder, there was a murder here, and then there was a murder there, and here's all the murders, and they'll take 3 weeks to tell you about all the murders today, and these celebrities whom you loved have just died, and you'll never see them again, and what a depressing thing the news is. It's awful. And then I watch my shows to the television shows that I like in order to escape, have a laugh or something like that. And then the commercials come on and here we go. It's time to depress me. Do you have diabetes? Do you think you have diabetes? You probably will get diabetes. Most people on the planet have diabetes. And when you do, you die early and your feet fall off and you can't see anymore, which is a real complication if it's serious. Do you have problems with blood flow? This can cause liver disease, and you can die by the time the commercial's over. And do you suffer from urinary bladder infections? And they can cause your nuts to fall off, even though you don't have any nuts. It's just awful. And do you have? You can go to the bathroom every 2 minutes. Why are you doing that? It's a horrible thing, and your bladder can explode all over your pants, and it'll be a horrible mess, and you need something for it. And if you take this pill, it'll stop your urinary infections, but side effect is it could kill you instantly, or it can cause your just awful things to happen, and they don't even happen necessarily to you. They can happen to anybody standing near you, and it's just awful, and don't take this. Take it. You must take it, but don't take it. If you consult with your doctor, make sure you even have a doctor. The bladder control. You have no control over your bladder. You need control, but if you get control, you can create cancer, all kinds of cancer if you take one pill.
It's just so depressing, man. It's like, how many diseases can I get in the space of one commercial break? It's just depressing. All the diseases I can possibly get rolled up into 3 minutes. Do you ever go to your doctor and say, oh, I was watching television, and, you know, I have these allergies, and there's this great new medication that came out. You take the allergy pill once a week, and you're completely free of itchy eyes and all that kind of stuff. Can I get that, doctor? And you know what your doctor says all the time? I don't recommend that. I don't recommend that. You continue taking what you're taking. I don't recommend that. It's not been tested. Even if it is tested, it can cause other problems. I don't recommend that. Doctors always say that. And you know what they're saying? It's not that they're saying I don't recommend it. It's that, oh, that pharmacy rep hasn't been in yet. Once the pharmacy rep comes in and says, here's a little bit of a thing. I'm going to give you some samples. And, you know, there's kickbacks involved for your medical group. And you know what I'm saying, man, you know. And then you go in and you go, well, how about that stuff I talked? Oh, yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. The rep was in. And, yeah, we're pushing that like crazy. We're pill pushers. Did you know that? They call us doctors. But what we do is we push the pills. We push the prescriptions. If a prescription thing comes in and does a deal with us, yeah, we'll definitely we'll recommend it. We'll put you on it. All of a sudden, it'll become a good idea. Last week, bad idea. This week, hey, that's a pretty good idea. Now, I'm not calling the doctors the whores. I'm not doing that because I don't think they see the pharmacists. They used to. No, it's the medical groups, the head of the medical groups, the medical group sales incoming reps. I don't know what kind of deals they're striking with these pharmaceutical companies. They get the medications, they get the samples, they get them for free. I really don't know how I don't know if there's financial kickbacks. I really don't know how it works. But I know that, my God, your doctor will always say, oh, you saw that on TV? Nah, I don't think that's a good idea. No. Your doctor never says it's a good idea. And in the commercial, they say, ask your doctor about Redesin for bladder control. A doctor, I heard about Redesin. Nah, that's not a good idea. The Redesin is not a, we have something that works really, really well, but it's not Redesin. I don't know what you're watching on that stupid TV. It's Redesin, forget the Redesin. Redesin's no, I know it's not proven. It's been proven to be bad. Thanks for asking me, by the way, like they suggested on the commercial. But I'm telling you, I don't like Redesin. That's not Redesin. Until the Redesin rep comes in, then of course we'll recommend it. But until then, no, I'm not thinking that's not good. So let me do one of those right now. We're going to talk about blood clots. And this is serious stuff. I mean, blood clots can be easily resolved. And I bet you didn't know this. I didn't know it. Let's talk to Dr. Abrams right now. Dr. Charles Abrams joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Ron. Thanks for letting me represent the American Society of Hematology today.
We're talking about blood clots, basically would be the layperson's term. And it can be quite a dangerous situation, as I understand it.
Oh, absolutely. So this is a under-recognized killer. Blood clots that end up in the lungs, pulmonary embolisms, kill about 100,000 people a year in this country alone.
Oh, my God.
It's a huge number. If you think about it, it's more than the number of people who die of breast cancer plus AIDS plus car accidents combined.
My God.
It's a terrifically large number. It's a horrible killer.
Wow. I guess the obvious question is, how does one develop a blood clot? Is it something that can happen to anybody?
Well, developing a clot is by itself is not necessarily a bad thing. When I cut myself shaving, you know, I need to develop a clot at that spot so I stop bleeding. The problem is developing a clot in an area where it doesn't belong, and that's called a thrombosis.
Okay.
And when it occurs in the bigger blood vessels, the bigger veins of our body, usually in our legs, occasionally in our arms, we call that a deep vein thrombosis, or DVT.
Okay.
And that occurs in about 500,000 people a year. in this country.
Oh, my God.
And so, yeah, it's a very common problem.
And how would you detect something like that?
Well, it depends where the clot is. So if a clot is in your leg, people typically complain that their leg is swollen or it may be a bit painful or tender to the touch, or maybe it just feels a little heavy.
Uh-huh.
They might feel that the leg is sort of warm to the touch or seems a bit red or even discolored.
Uh-huh.
Now, if a piece of that clot, that deep vein thrombosis, DVT, if a piece of that clot breaks off and floats through the bloodstream and ends up wedged in our lungs,
uh-huh.
that's where it can become deadly, and that's what's called a pulmonary embolism.
Okay.
And people who have that complain of a sudden shortness of breath. They may have chest pain, particularly when taking a deep breath. They may have an unexplained cough. All these symptoms are things that should prompt people to seek immediate medical attention.
And once you do, what is the success rate? I assume that when it becomes fatal, it's because it was not recognized or treated.
That's exactly right, Ron. The treatment for it is actually quite good.
Mm-hmm.
So people are placed on blood thinners. They're very effective. And there are a wide variety of blood thinners. You may have heard of older drugs like heparin and warfarin or Coumadin.
Yes.
But we have a whole host of different types of blood thinners, anticoagulants.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been four new drugs that have been approved by our government, the FDA,
mm-hmm.
Within the last couple of years alone. And so people that come into the system, they are usually easily diagnosed and they're usually easily treated. The problem is that people don't get plugged into the system. They don't
right.
recognize they really have a problem that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later.
Yeah. It sounds like it mirrors so many other possibilities, such as arthritis, bruising from falling down, and you didn't even know you fell down, or you know that kind of thing. It happens to people all the time. Or your leg
yep.
falls asleep, or you have a twinge or a pinched nerve. It just seems, or a cough, which could be related to something that a dry cough or something. It just seems like it'd be a thousand different things is the problem, and then you'd go running to your doctor inquiring as to what it was all the time, and I don't even know if your family doctor would necessarily pick that up.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, but
yeah.
people who complain of blood clots usually say, you know, this is a little different than something I've had before.
Okay.
If I were sitting in an awkward position and my leg fell asleep and then
yeah.
I stood up and 2 minutes later it was fine, I wouldn't worry about it.
I see.
But a persistent problem that feels different than something you've had before is
yeah.
something worth exploring. And
yeah.
so it's easily diagnosed. There's a blood test that is very good at screening people to see if there's a chance they have a blood clot.
Yeah.
We can do things called ultrasounds, where we bounce sound waves off of people's legs,
mm-hmm.
completely harmless, and we can see whether the blood is flowing through there. We can do x-rays, CAT scans, CT scans of people's chest to see if there's
okay.
a clot in the lungs.
So,
and so there are a variety of ways it can be diagnosed, and
yeah.
usually pretty easily.
Is there is time of the essence at a point, or is it one of those things that's like a gallstone that gets into the pancreas where it can happen and then you better realize quickly?
Yeah, no, you're exactly right that people should seek an evaluation sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people that are going to die of this are going to die of it fairly quickly.
Uh-huh.
And so if something like this is happening
yeah.
and you're not sure what's going on,
yeah.
you should seek immediate medical attention.
Okay. There was a journalist, I think, who was in the Iraqi war. He was traveling with a troop, and that happened to him, I believe. Am I accurate in that?
You are absolutely correct. He
okay.
was traveling in a tank.
Right.
In, I think, the first Iraqi war.
Right.
And he was sort of confined in this tank for a long period of time.
Yes.
And he died of a pulmonary embolism.
Now, but that was that possibly a result of him not being able to move his body? Or, I mean, how would that have occurred to him?
Yeah, well, his name was David Bloom.
Yes,
he died,
that's right.
Probably about 10 or 12 years ago.
That's right.
And he, it was an unusual circumstance in that, if I recall, his knees were sort of up near his face.
Yes.
And he was sitting in this little portion of the tank for just hours and hours at a time.
Right.
It is true that not moving as much is a risk factor for developing a clot. And I don't mean you're sitting in your chair watching TV for 2 hours before getting up. Yeah. I mean,
like a 12-hour plane
ride. A prolonged period of time.
Right.
Yeah, a very long plane ride, or hospitalized and unable to get out of bed.
Okay.
Or in this particular case, confined to a tank. It's, if I recall correctly, during World War II, when people were confined to the bunkers of London in the Blitzkrieg, there was a higher incidence of deep-vein thrombosis just from the confinement and lack of movement in that particular area. And that's ultimately, they replaced the usual bunkers with ones with cots so people could stretch out a little bit more, and the incidence of blood clots seemed to go down.
As I recall that circumstance, it's horrible that someone passes from it, and a horrible circumstance, but it did. I mean, case in point to me, it made me aware of that situation. So, I mean, sometimes out of bad comes good as far as awareness is concerned. How can we get more information about this, Doctor?
Well, the hematologists are blood specialists, and the American Society of Hematology is a collection of about 15,000 hematologists who really want to help patients. And we have a website, www.hematology.org/patients with an S at the end of it. And it's a website designed to help our patients. It has a variety of different types of information, not only on blood clots, but other blood diseases, including leukemia, lymphoma, and anemia. And we're here to help. We want to help. And so if patients were to go to that website, they could find information that'll help them get started.
Great. Let me ask you one more question. When one goes for an annual checkup, they usually get a blood panel. They get a blood test for things like cholesterol and that kind of thing, and blood count. Why are blood screenings not so universal in general, where they would pick up any problem with the body? Do the blood tests have to be ordered according to what you are looking for? I mean, why is there nothing that would, you have a blood test and goes, oh, look, you have this or you have that? In other words, test for everything. Is that possible?
In the ideal world, it would be. You know, the reality is that these blood tests aren't perfect.
Yeah.
And so if you start drawing them on everyone, you'll get lots of false alarms.
I see.
And you may be doing more harm than good by doing that. And so they should be tailored to the individual and the symptoms that they have at that particular time.
Well, that explains that. Well, Doctor, thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Wonderful, wonderful man. He's a real man. He's a doctor. He's a real man. He's a doctor. He's a real man. You know, it's sad. You know, even if they come out with, and I believe they have, there's a company that advertised for a while, and they don't do it anymore, so maybe it wasn't successful. They did full body scans from head to toe, from tip of the head to the tippy of the toe. They would scan your entire body, and apparently this body scan would tell you everything that's wrong with you in your body. if you had developing arthritis, if your eyes were starting to go cracky, if you had any type of questionable lumps inside your body, or any type of blockages in the artery, or any type of swelling anywhere, or any type of diseased area, this body scan would tell you everything. And it was like $300-$400. I don't know the price or something like that. And I thought, man, finally, if we can figure out what's wrong with us before it happens, we can be healthy through our entire lives and maybe even get a little longevity kick to the lifespan. And I thought, man, this is it. If you know that you got a problem, then you can treat it. Full body scans, I love it. This is so scientific. It's like science fiction stuff. Perfect, wonderful. And then I talked to doctors about it, and here's what they said. Just what this guy said. Well, in theory, it's good, but it's going to come up with a lot of false positives, and then you're going to have to go in for extensive work to back up what the body scan did, just to test to make sure that that's what you have, and then you go through all this rigmarole and extra testing, and you find out you never had it. It was a false reading. And I said, you know, okay, fine. I said to myself, okay, fine. I don't say it out loud. I said, okay, fine. Here you go. You know, it's like someone will say, I've cured all types of cancers. Yeah, but you can't really, you can take the medicine to cure all types of cancers, but the medicine may not be good for you. If you don't have the cancer, it's a false positive. It may not work. You cannot do it. Say, yeah, well, what's going on? Everything that turns out to be good, it's like, oh boy, I've discovered the secret of youth. Yeah, but that's not good because that can be this, and then your shoes don't fit anymore, and that's not so good, and it can cause these kinds of problems. And, oh no, stop it. You're ruining everything. I wish I could go back in time. If I could go back in time and relive, you can't go back in time because if you meet yourself and back in time, it could ruin what the history would be, and that person may not develop with limbs properly, and you can't really go back in time, and that it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to go back in time. Oh, come on, man, you're ruining everything.
There's a guitar pick in my pocket, and it's longing to get out. But my blue jeans with a tight squeeze, when my pick can make a sound. But instead, I hear the rantings from my boss when I'm at work. My guitar pick knows my needs should not come first.
You ever get a present, you know, someone gives you a present and you go, oh my God, this is wonderful. Oh, it's a new sweater. I can't wait to put the new sweater on. This is great. And you put the sweater on and it's all itchy and scratchy. Oh no, it's going to be a wonderful sweater and it's horrible. I remember my father got me a bicycle for Christmas once, and we were Jewish. That was the odd part. But it was for Christmas. We celebrated Christmas. I didn't even know when the Jewish holidays are. I still don't know, you know, because you don't advertise well. That's why. You don't market the thing well. Anyway, there's no Jewish Facebook page with all the holidays on it. You know what I'm saying? So I get this bicycle for Christmas, and my father says, you're going to love this bicycle. We're going to ride around. You're going to be riding around. It's a beautiful bicycle. We just have to put it together. And he starts putting it together for me, and the bicycle seat is coming out of the wheels, and it's just a mess. And, oh, there's my bicycle. It's not going to work.
You got to sing about.
You can't. remember when I was a kid, I had a bicycle. It wasn't a great bicycle. It was a bicycle. I don't even remember what color it was. It was probably black or silver or something. It was a bicycle. It got me from place to place. It was a bicycle. And then one day I saw one of my friends from a distance, and I heard, and he was like brimming in glee, and I hear this bicycle coming at me. It sounds like a motorcycle. Johnny got a motorcycle. And he's coming closer, and it's just Johnny's bicycle. And I said, Johnny, what's up? Why, your bicycle is so cool. You know what? I from a friend of mine does this. You take the, you know, to take the baseball playing cards that we all have, and you take some clothespins, and you clip the baseball card to the spoke of the wheel, and when the wheel moves around, it flaps, and it sounds like a motorcycle. Said, Johnny, that's wonderful. And within about 2 minutes, my nonchalant, regular, run-of-the-mill bicycle was turned into a thing of beauty. And I rode that bike. And when I was riding, they knew I was coming. Ron's got the motorcycle. And it turned a simple thing into a fantasy. And all it was a baseball card and a clothespin. And that's the simplicity of life to which I seek another round. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Ah, yes, the peacefulness of simplicity.
Whatever.